Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Going to ask Bonnie to start us in prayer.
Okay. I open my mouth and his words come out of his. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, you created laughter. And Father God, the joy of you, Lord, is our strength. And I want to thank you again, Father, for bringing us into 2023. By your mercy, Father, and by your grace, Father God, and your endless love, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Lord, I ask you to bless this service, Father God. Excuse me. Bless your children, Father, which you always do. I even say to myself, Father, you spoil me bad, you know. And I appreciate it so much, Lord. Father, have your way in this service, Father God. Touch people's hearts, Father God. Oh, in this new year, Father God, you always have such blessings, explosions, breakthroughs, and restoration, Father God. And we thank you again, God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me. That's why I asked Bonnie to pray. She's got more words than I do. I mean, Lord, bless me, bless this message, bless the people, thank you. That would have been me. But thank you, Bonnie. Thank you all for being here. Today we're participating in Holy Communion. For those of you watching on social media, if you want to participate, also gather some juice and some elements. Now these may be substituted by anything. Water, soda, juice, bread, crackers, and we will partake of this Holy Communion after this short message. What is communion? Well, I'd like first to begin by telling you a short story of what God can be compared to, of what can be compared to what Jesus did for us. Excuse me, I'm just getting over the little cold that I suffered from, but thank God that was it, just all it was, and it was mild. Just a nuisance. Praise you, God. So that's why might see me clear my throat. I'm sorry. Every Friday, the old man would walk the beach with a bucket full of shrimp, feeding the seagulls. His name, Eddie Rickenbacker. In October of 1942, he had been sent on a mission to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur. With a handpicked crew, he flew his B-17 Flying Fortress across the South Pacific. Somewhere, the crew became lost. The plane ran out of fuel and went down in shark-infested water. For 8 days, the crew survived in the life raft. They ran out of rations and knew that only a miracle would save them. So they prayed. As they prayed, Rickenbacker felt something land on his head. It was a seagull. He grabbed the bird, they ate the meat, and used the intestines as bait and caught fish. The crew survived thanks to a seagull, hundreds of miles away from the nearest land. That is why years later, every Friday, Eddie Rickenbacker would feed the gulls. From a heart full of thanks, he would remember the one that had journeyed so far to sacrifice his life for his. Like Rickenbacker, we too have reason to look back and give thanks. Now, Eddie Rickenbacker was a fighter pilot. He was an ace in World War I. World War I. And he was a Medal of Honor recipient. In 1942, he was flying as a civilian. Our message today comes from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. As a seagull, Jesus said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, what is communion again? A little girl usually stayed in children's church on Sunday mornings. Went to her parents to regular adult service this time. When communion was served, she turned to her mother and whispered loudly, "The snack in children's church is much better. And we get a lot of juice." Communion is more than a snack. I suggest to you, we look at three things. The first one, looking back, our past, as we see in verses 23 through 35. Within it, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." There are some moments which become significant in our lives. For some, it is your wedding day. For some, the birth of your child. Everything that came after that moment was different from what came before. Like Eddie Rickenbacker, each one of us who is a Christian can say we face certain death, but were rescued miraculously. Our present should be spent in gratitude for what has happened in our past. For each one of us, the greatest pivotal moment in our lives was when we asked Jesus to come into our hearts. Communion is a time of remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us some 2,000 years ago. He was betrayed, his body like the bread was broken, and his blood like the wine was poured out. The God of all eternity loved us so much that he came to earth to die for our sins. Jesus came and he paid a terrible price so that we would not have to. The problem we have as Christians is that we can easily forget what God has done for us. We have short memories. I don't know, maybe I do. Bonnie and I always ask, "What was I going to do?" When I was walking this way or that. Familiarity breeds contempt. Over time, we can lose sight of what God in Christ has done for us. And our relationship with Jesus can move from relationship to empty religion. We're blindly following a set of rules. God knew that we as people had poor memories, so he gave us communion as a constant reminder. When we participate in communion, we're calling to remembrance on a regular basis what God has done for us in Christ. This helps us not to forget. Baptism is like a wedding. It is a marking point that you look back to, a public declaration that serves as a pivotal moment in our Christian walk. If this is true, let me suggest that communion is like a wedding ring. Like your ring, communion is a constant reminder for us of what God has done to us and the decision you made to follow Christ. Wearing a ring is an act of remembrance. It is an act of will which then affects the mind and heart. You can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. Thankfulness is an intelligent response of gratitude to God, as an author, Erwin W. Lutzer, said. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry, he dove into the cool water. He ran out the back door, leaving behind the shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His mother, in the house and looking out the window, saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In great fear, she ran toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the boy became alarmed, and he made a quick U-turn to swim to his mother. It was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms as the alligator snatched his legs. That became an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard her screams, raised from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. After weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs, as you can imagine, were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. On his arms were deep scratches from where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son whom she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he could show him his scars. The little boy lifted his pants legs, and then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." Just like a mother who loves her child, so God loves each of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The scars on the hands and feet of Jesus reminds us that God, in his great love for us, could not let us go. Communion reminds us of the cost Jesus paid for our sins. At the communion table, take time to think of what your life would be like if it had not been for Jesus. What were you like before Christ found you? I know where I would be if I hadn't found the love of Jesus. The day Jesus found me will always be the most important moment in my life. And number two, looking forward, our future. As we see in verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The Lord's table is not just about looking back, but also looking forward. Remember where he came from is important, but it is hard to walk forward if you are always looking back. At the table, we also remember that we have a hope and a future before us. Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't stay on it. The cross is empty. Jesus is alive. Amen. He's with us here right now in this room. Because of the cross, we have a hope and a future. A pastor was in his office preparing his sermon. His little daughter came in and said, "Daddy, can we play?" He answered, "I'm awfully sorry, sweetheart. But I'm right in the middle of preparing the sermon. In about an hour, I can play." She said, "Okay, when you're finished, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug." He said, "Thank you very much." So she went to the door, but when she did a U-turn and came back, she gave him a bone-breaking hug. He said to her, "Darling, you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished." She answered, "Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to." One meaning of Christmas is that God wants us to know through his first coming how much we have to look forward to in the great second coming. As we take the bread and juice today, we look forward to the day when Jesus will come again. Not this time as a baby in a manger, but as a risen Savior. We drink juice and bread now, but then there will be the wedding feast of the Lamb. All that we do today is just a foretaste of what is to come. Can you remember as a kid at Thanksgiving sneaking into the kitchen and getting a little taste of turkey or tamales? It was so good. That was not the full meal. It was just a taste of what was to come. Men, have you ever received a perfumed envelope promising a future date? The letter is not the date, but the fragrance reminds you of what you have to look forward to. When Jesus broke the bread for his disciples, he knew that he would not eat it again until he returned from the dead. Think about this. It could be that you will see Jesus before you have communion again. None of us knows the hour he will return or our own death. Communion reminds us that he's coming. Amen. Number 3, look inward. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the blood, the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. This is verses 27 and 28. And lastly, when we come to the table, it is a time for looking at our own hearts. We remember what Jesus has done, and we remember what Jesus will do. But we must also examine ourselves to see where we are. How is our relationship with Christ today? It is important to search your heart as you come. If Jesus were to return today, would you be ready to meet him? We are warned not to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Let us get our hearts right before him and before we begin. Let's take our time right now before we begin to make sure that there is nothing standing between us and God. Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? In any relationship, it is always good to take time and review the good times. You'll pull out the photo album or put in the home or wedding video and remember again where your relationship has come from. God did this with the Israelites. He was constantly reminding them of where they had come from in order to show them his love. A young woman in England many years ago always wore a golden locket that she would not allow anyone to open or look into. And everyone thought there must be some romance connected. And in that locket must be the picture of the one she loved. The young woman died at an early age, and after her death, the locket was opened. Everyone wondering whose face they would find within. And in the locket was found simply a little slip of paper with these words written in it. Whom having not seen, I love. Her Lord Jesus was the lover she longed for. Her locket reminded her of that. What reminds you of him and his love? At this time, I'd like to ask Jeff and Juan if they would pass out the elements for the communion. Those of you at home, prepare your elements. As you take communion this morning, remember what Jesus has done for you. He's healed your body. So as you take it, receive healing also. Jesus saved you. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, accept him today, and he will save your soul, and you will be ready for his return. This time I'd like to ask Bonnie to come, and she will lead us in the supper.
First Corinthians 11:24-25, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may partake. Then Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And don't be real, I mean, you know, I know we're supposed to be somber, but you know what? We ought to be doggone happy. Yes. We have got heaven provided for us and eternity forever and ever and ever. You may partake of the blood of Jesus.
This time I'd like to ask them to come forward.
Thank you so much, Bonnie and Ish. We call Ish our, he's our everything. You need anything, you just go ask Ish. And of course, we know how he gets the knowledge. He's got Bonnie, so there we have it. We just love them so much, and we are so blessed by both of you. We are so blessed, and thank you so much for doing the communion today. How in perfect timing. All right, we are going to finish out with prayer, but then I'd ask that no one leave because I have some announcements to make. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, that you held on. You took every lash for our healing. You took every broken part and you just let it be nailed to your body on the cross. But praise you, Father God, because Jesus rose up. And that's what we celebrate. is because we do have, through the righteousness of Christ Jesus, we have all that you had intended for us from the beginning. Father, we give you all the glory and the praise for the great future that you have for us. We thank you that your cleansing blood is available every moment, every second of every day. That your grace and your love and your mercy just flows over us like we can't even comprehend. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for peace that comes with relationship with God, that passes all the understanding of the things that come against us. We thank you, Father, that you are taking us to the other side, that you hold our hand through each trial and through each high point, and you never let go of us, because you are bringing us and always bringing us to eternal life with you. We thank you that you are coming again. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just burn in us a cleansing fire, a fire that purifies those things that are not aligned with the will of God, and that you just minister to us so that we can be those ministering hands, those ministering prayers, those ministering meat of the needs to people, Father, on this earth. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the power and for your presence in us. And Father, we just dedicate and rededicate our life to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.